I come as well tomorrow in the morning.
What time?
About quarter past 11.
To the Met.
How are you doing?
He's got a phone.
Someone's asking me 60 for my phone. And what's its name?
Yeah.
I can get.
Yeah, whatever.
And this is a better phone than mine.
Anyway, let's go.
Today, what we're doing is, the bill has been introduced, really, so it's been voted on by Parliament in the House of Commons and the House of Lords, and it's been introduced, so we can't really stop it that happening. But today we're going to be working, we have the Youth Offending Service, and we have representatives from local services here, and we're going to be talking to them about how we want it to be introduced in Birmingham, and how we can work with them to make, about how we can work with them to make it easier on young people, and better work better.
Really, to put it simply, I'm just questioning what policies are you putting forward instead of saying about what you don't like. What are you saying? This is what we should be doing, because I'm really action motivated. I'm like, okay, I need to get these petition signs. I need to do this. I need to do that. I'm quite open for debate and discussion with anyone. But it's really, this is what we should be doing, or how should you feel about it? I want to hear like the views from other people.
I mean, it's difficult for us to answer that as members of UK Youth
Parliament. Talking to you.
Because we're meant to be representing you guys and everyone else in Birmingham. So without having done a bit more consultation first, it's a very difficult question for us to answer, because we can't just say what sort of we'd think, because we're here as representatives for you all. So, I mean, anyone on how you think we could work with young people?
Can I join in? I'm Sharon Moore. I work for the Children's Society. Hi, hello everybody. And I think you're making a really interesting point, because that's why I've come here today, to hear what young people have got to say. We've done a lot of work with government on the bill. We've tried to get them to lessen the impact for young people. And one of the things that government has said to us is that they're going to, when the law becomes, the law has passed, so a lot of what you've heard about today is in going to be in law, and the government will set a date when police have the powers to use. And I think that the big issue now is about talking the community, young people, talking with the police, talking with the council about antisocial behaviour and how the police are going to use those powers. We've asked the government to make sure that the police consult with young people and with the community before they use the powers of curfew. They don't have to use curfew. The police don't have to come along and move every young person off the streets at 9 o'clock. They have to have a report and they have to apply for the powers to use that. And the same with dispersal. The police don't have to move every group of young people they see on the streets away. But if they receive a report from somebody in the community that says they're being a nuisance and I'm frightened that they're going to do something, then the police can again apply for the powers and move the young people away. So, you know, the question we need to get going is, you know, how can young people and the police work together where there is a real problem, where young people are saying there's a problem? You're clearly saying, you know, in some areas of Birmingham, the police may need these powers because of what's happening. So that's...
That's helped me a bit more. I don't really want to take over the mic, but run down. I see there's a constable standing next to you. If I don't know, later on...
Later on we're going to have a panel. There's going to be a panel here, and the constable will be on the panel later, and you can ask questions then to the panel.
Yeah, I just want to hand it over to you, really.
Yeah, okay. Go for it. I think we should move on now. We now have a video documentary, which we're going to watch. So,
I didn't know about it until we started this project yesterday.
Yeah, that's that bill that people under 16 need to be in before 9. That's that curfew for them.
Sort of. We're just going to stop kids hanging around on the street in big groups.
I heard that children under 16 have to be in their house for 9 o'clock.
Nothing really. It's just sad because they're just locking down on us like that.
Not really.
Not really, because it's up to really the parents and the teenagers whether they like want to be roaming the streets after 9 o'clock or just in their house. So it shouldn't be really put to the government's decision and what the young people under 16 are doing. And mostly anyway these days, it's like people over 16 that are like on the streets in big groups after 9 anyway, so it wouldn't really make a difference.
No, I think it's very unfair. I think that just the way the government have not publicised it in any way, and as I said, I didn't know about this until yesterday, and I think people my age need to be more aware of what's going on.
What's it? Some areas ain't nothing to do, and that's all there is to do, sit on the street, play football, whatever.
The parents should say what the children should do and not the government. So if the parents allow them to be out after 9, they can be out after 9, not the government, because they ain't got nothing to say about their children.
Not at all. If you're under 13, then yeah, but over 13 to 16, then that's just a little bit on the sad side.
I think they should like at least take it like an hour later than what they say. Because 9 o'clock's a bit too early for kids, like 15, nearly 16 at night. 9 o'clock's too early for them. I can like 10 o'clock at least.
It don't mean nothing to me because I'm over 16, but people should be able to do what they want to do instead of having a curfew. It's like you're getting locked up when you shot me.
Probably a big one because she's only 3. It's about the time she's like my age. Don't know.
I think it'll have a big impact on my younger brother because now there'll be a lot of kids maybe getting criminal records because of this bill, and that'll have an impact on them in later life.
I know girls that are like 13 that look about 16 and that.
Yeah.
And they're like, just, they ain't gonna listen because they're rude as well.
I think my parents will be against it. I think they'll find it hard to, you know, make sure that there's someone there with me after 9 o'clock, and I think they'll find it hard, like, picking me up from places after that time.
My dad probably agree with it, but I sort of know about it anyway, because I'm on this antisocial behaviour order thing, and my mum's happy that I'm on it to keep me out of trouble, but I don't think she'd be happy about kids off the street.
Yeah, probably. I think so, because then my mum won't have, like, my little brother running about outside on the road and that.
I don't know. My mum, that's what I said, my mum lets me come in later than 9 o'clock, so at that, my mum, that, I think that's right.
Right.
You get me, kids. I don't think people's going to listen to the rule anyway, if even when they bring it in.
They'll probably think it's good because, like, they're old, so they think that young people, like, cause trouble and get up to no good when they don't.
Not specifically that they should be off the streets, because it depends what they're doing on the streets at that time.
Often these kids are perfectly harmless, and yeah, you know, there's opinions divided on whether they should be in the house by then, but these people need to be visible, and they're part of society. You can't just tidy the streets up and send them home. I think we need to be providing more engaging things for these people to do, if they are perceived as a problem. But to actually use police as well, so they're learning quite early on that police are there, not really on their side, and I think can build lots and lots of resentment in young people towards police. Mm.
Teenagers, without realising it, can cause significant nuisance and intimidation by hanging around in big groups, by off-licences, one-stop shops, underneath lampposts on street corners, and they might not have any intention to upset, but become a nuisance without realising it.
No, I don't think we deserve this amount of attention. The statistics show that arrests this year were mainly of adults, and that was 1,450 arrests of adults and only 353 of children my age.
Not really. Should be getting, like, the proper criminals. Wasting time, really.
They need attention, yeah, but not too much. You get me? Because sometimes they get too much attention, like getting stopped and searched for no reason and that. Just because they're black. That's what it is.
Well, some under 16s get into trouble, but some don't, so it's unfair on them that they're getting, like, locked up because of the other people.
The government should focus more on other things.
Okay, well, that was the video, and now I'm happy to introduce to you, from the Youth Offending Service, Charlie Spencer.
Hi, everybody. As you just said, I'm Charlie Spencer. I haven't prepared a speech specifically, because I wanted to just hear what people are saying and try to put my perspective on it. If I tell you, first of all, I work for the Youth Offending Service. My job is prevention. So my job is to try and prevent youth crime across the city, not on my own, but with all the agencies that are here, as well as a lot of agencies that are not here. I think one of the first things I'd want to say is, from a personal point of view, not so long ago when I was a young man, I used to hang around on street corners. It's probably only a year or two ago, actually. But it was. And I used to hang around on street corners. We didn't really do anything spectacular. We just had somewhere to go, somewhere to meet up and talk and get cold and huddle into a doorway and, you know, the general sort of things that I think a lot of young people do today. But what I've seen over the years is a steady emphasis growing on young people. And working in the Youth Offending Service since 1994, I have seen, we've saw crime committed by young people decrease. but we've also saw the emphasis placed more on young people. We've saw lots and lots of legislation come in, which a lot of it is sort of like punitive. It's not sort of like there to help you and support you. And I just think, you know, some of the comments that I've just heard are very relevant for today. If we say in Birmingham, there was in the year 2000, probably about 8,000 offences committed by young people under the age of 18. Sounds a lot. And then, you know, when you say the amount of young people who committed those offences is probably about 4,000. And then when you talk about young people who are persistent young offenders, these ones who commit three or more offences, that number shrinks again to about 200. And then when you compare that with the population, the young people's population in the city of Birmingham being about, you know, between 115,000 to 125,000 young people under the age of 18, then when you look at it and put it into context, there's a hell of a lot of legislation put in place to deal with what we see as the minority of young people. The other thing I want to say about antisocial behaviour, a lot of the behaviours that we're now talking about was not really badged as antisocial behaviour before. There was young people hanging around the streets doing whatever. But now we have terminology for it. We've badged it, we've given it a name, we've called it antisocial behaviour, or we called it neighbourhood nuisance. And I also think when you look at the media and how the media have portrayed nuisance, there's lots of really positive things going on in communities, lots of really positive things that young people are doing. You know, not only for them, each other and their peers, but also for older residents and, you know, doing something really constructive. And I just feel a lot of the time we don't really celebrate those things and we don't really see them because it's not, you know, it doesn't make headlines, it doesn't sell newspapers. It's not, you know, one of these things that, you know, is promoted. Young people are doing, you know, done this and have done it really well. What's promoted or what's put across is that there are real problems across in communities, which I don't disagree with. I know there are problems in communities. There are a lot of communities that are deprived. There are a lot of communities that have no facilities, what we've mentioned earlier on this morning, where young people physically don't feel that there's somewhere constructive, somewhere safe for them to go and congregate and to do something constructive with their time. That's something that I believe needs to be addressed, but I don't believe that in itself is the solution to some of the problems that the government are portraying. We're talking about antisocial behaviour and we're focusing a lot on young people, which is right because that's why we're here. But the more serious antisocial behaviour, I would suggest, is not really young people. We're talking about people who, you know, neighbourhood nuisance. We're talking about people who intimidate people in their homes. People who feel, you know, that they can't come out of their home because of groups of people. We're talking about drunken behaviour. We're talking about fights, you know, after the pubs. There's so many things. There's so many different aspects of antisocial behaviour. And I just think it's a real shame that, again, young people seem to be ones where it's badged against and it's focused on. And there was a comment earlier on, you know, about how, you know, it's all about young people and should the emphasis be on young people. Well, I think there should be an emphasis on young people, but a positive emphasis on young people. I always believe, and I've said it before, I've been here probably two or three times now to do various talks for various things. And I always think that young people are not the problem. They are the solution. And if we can't see that as adults and as professionals, then we're always going to be agencies that are always trying to react to something that's already happened, rather than trying to prevent it happening in the first place. And rather than us or me as a professional trying to impose what I believe is best for you as a child, how would I know? You know, like I said, it was only a year ago, I was a child myself, so, you know, since that time's elapsed, things have changed, and I know things have changed. You know, so how would I know what is specific, what is the right thing to put in place for you? And I think governments have missed a trick. Because if they would have taken the opportunity to consult widely with young people and to consult widely in general and to discuss this with communities and discuss this with young people, to go into schools, to go into youth clubs, to ask about solutions and how the government feel that, or the young people and the general society feel we should be dealing with these issues, rather than politicians, Mr. Blunkett, putting in place what he thinks is the right thing to do. And I just think that's wrong. we should, I don't know that, we don't know, have to ask each other. I don't know what's going on in each individual community. I don't know what, you know, your pressures are. Young people are under a lot of pressure. You got to get your 5A to C's, first thing you got to do. Then you've got to go to college, you know, you got to, you know, then from going to college, you got to go to university and pay a lot of money to do that, and then come out and find a job that's going to pay your, you know, all. So there's lots of things that are going on at the moment, and I just think that it's not really the right thing to do. And I know Sharon's here from the Children's Society, and they've done lots and lots of campaigning. I'm also part of an association called the National Association for Youth Justice, which, again, campaigns on behalf of children and putting their welfare first, because children are children first. They're not criminals first. They're not young people who commit antisocial behaviour first. They are children first, and we should be looking at those things. And, you know, I think the Young People's Parliament and having the opportunity to come here and discuss this is, you know, one of these things that should have happened a long time ago, and I welcome it now. I also want to thank people for actually taking the time out and the energy to put this together. As you can see, you know, we've got quite a few young people who have come out, not only on a cold Saturday morning, but a cold, wet and windy Saturday morning. So all of you, you need recognition, you know. You need to give yourselves a round of applause. So actually getting out of bed on a Saturday morning and coming here to do this, you know, give yourselves a round of applause, please. Nobody was forced to come here, so that simply says to me that you care, and you care, you have a voice, you have something to say, and it should be listened to. What I don't want to do, I don't want to see the antisocial behaviour bill sort of like become another route for young people to go into the criminal justice system. That is my biggest fear. Because if young people are behaving, it's like you walk on this, anybody, you know, your parents, your friends' parents, they could look out the window and see a group of kids hanging on, you know, on the street corner. But do they say that when they phone the police? There's a gang, and the terminology changes. It's a gang. So you perceive gang. So you perceive intimidation. You perceive threat. So then you have a response. And from something that didn't happen, was not happening in the first instance, just a young, few young people congregating, by the perceptions of society or the individuals that may be phoning the police, they don't perceive that as just a few, because of all the, you know, the factors around them about what society is actually saying. So there's, you know, there's lots and lots of things. I could stand up here and talk for, you know, talk for England, talk for Jamaica, talk for everybody. But what I'm going to do, I'm not going to steal the floor. I think it's important that young people actually speak. We will also have an opportunity in a little while where we have Chief Superintendent Douglas Paxton is going to come up here with Sharon, and hopefully Ian McGibbon from the Antisocial Behaviour Unit at the Housing Department, he will also be here. We have representatives from the Youth Service here and the Youth Offending Service. So it's not just about us here being on the panel to answer questions. We are here, and you can talk to us at any time. We're going to have a break soon. We can have a chat then. You know, we're having a discussion group, we can speak then. And then hopefully what will come out of this is some real concrete information, some real concrete views from the young people that we can put together, we can structure with you, not to take it over. And then we can go and take it to people. We can take it back to the Youth National Association for Youth Justice, who can then potentially use that in their lobbying. Hopefully Sharon can take the information back from the Children's Society, and that might be of assistance there in their lobbying. We will lobby, you know, young people can lobby the government. There's no more powerful thing, in my opinion, than young people commenting on what impacts upon them most. Normally these things are imposed. So I'm going to really leave it there. I don't really want to get real deep in, you know, controversy. I just want young people today to use their voices, and for us as professionals to structure that back and to try and influence how things are going to be implemented. We now know that it's, you know, it's given royal assent and it's an act. That doesn't mean to say it's been implemented as yet. We still can work locally with the agencies locally, like our service as a Youth Offending Service, to structure how we implement things. Like I said, my job is crime prevention or youth crime prevention. And in order to do that, we're using lots and lots of different tools, lots and lots of different initiatives. We don't always know what's right and what's best. We would welcome your opinions. We want to get across the city and provide constructive activities for young people to do, but also about education. It's also about your life choices and life chances. But then you also have to think, we all have to take responsibility as well. If this act is not going to impact upon us like we fear it will, then we all have to take some collective responsibility as well, as adults, as young people, to look at our own behaviour. Start with self. If we start with self, and you know, if you're happy with your behaviour because you're not impacting negatively upon somebody else, then recognise that, and you know, do that for yourself. And if all of us could do that, I know it's, you know, one of these old cliches, but if all of us could manage our own behaviour, then would we be in this situation? I'm not sure. I think we probably would, to be honest, because that's how things have gone. Young people at the moment, in my opinion, are the biggest political football that's out there, and governments are winning votes on policy around young people. So if that's the case, then young people should influence those policies, and we welcome any opportunities or any sort of like information that you have to give us that can help us to help you. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. We're going to have a break in a minute, but first I'm just going to explain. When everyone came in, they should have got a coloured sticker thing, blue, green, red, whatever colour you got. They're the groups that we're going to be splitting up into when we come back after the break. So there's going to be refreshments outside when you go to the break, and then once you've got your refreshments and eaten them, can you come back into the auditorium, but don't bring the food or drink back in. Thank you. You can go.